Well, good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring, and please continue to pray for my fine wife, Bev. She's overcoming an attack of pneumonia, and thank you for doing that. Also, our friend Lawrence Cook is home from the hospital and beginning recovery. Please keep Lawrence in prayer as well. Well, yesterday we began talking about the seven character traits of a winner. After a brief review, we're going to finish that teaching. First, empathy. We can take comfort in knowing that whatever you're going through, Jesus has already experienced all of your pain, including loss, rejection, betrayal, and dying. And as our Savior and Redeemer, He took all our sins to the cross and then forgave and continues to forgive us when we ask. Truly, Jesus has empathy for us, and we should have it for others. Number two, stop, neutralize, and eliminate conflict. When conflict arises, here's how I suggest handling it. First, purpose in your heart, not to add fuel to the flames of the other person's agitation. Second, if you stop talking, it will help diffuse the flames. Third, listen to what the other person is saying without responding while they're talking. Fourth, don't defend yourself. When you push back, they'll push back even more. Fifth, ride the wave of their discontent. Don't be drowned by the undertow. Sixth, stay calm, even if it means getting back to the person, which they probably will not like. So just say, I need a little more time to calmly reflect what you said to me. And seventh, ask the person to forgive you if you've offended them. Doing so doesn't mean you're wrong. Just means you're giving them the opportunity to forgive you. Third, number three, respond like water off a duck's back. When dealing with difficult situations, we can't take it personally, even though we would be justified to do so. We should respond just like it's water rolling off a duck's back. Most of all, don't get offended. Even more importantly, don't give place to an offense, as it will quickly build to a stronghold which the enemy will use to destroy a marriage and even friendships. Fourth, give praise when and where it's due. Always look for and compliment the good in other people. Recognize the things they're dealing with and commend them on what they're doing. Proverbs 12:25, New Living Translation. Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. Hallelujah. So let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. Fifth, be happy. If you make people feel happy, then you're the kind of person they want to hang around with, or at least have access to. However, if you never smile, if you never have a kind word, if you look like you've been weaned on a deal of pickle, no one will want to hang around with you. Happiness is an outward expression of an inner work, and it depends on what you do and how you respond to what happens to you. For people to be truly happy, there must be an inner realization of the mental and spiritual commitments they've made to be more than what they are, do more than what they've already done, and bless more than they thought imaginable. Happiness, well, it's much more than a momentary triumph or victory, because it's just that, momentary. What brings lasting happiness? Two scriptures tell it all. Psalm 84:5, Living Bible. Happy are those who are strong in the Lord, who want above all else to follow your steps. And Psalm 112:1, Living Bible. Praise the Lord, for all who fear God and trust in Him are blessed beyond expression. Yes, happy is the man who delights in doing His commands. Do you want to be happy? fear God, trust in Him, and obey His instructions. Happiness is a magnet. It will draw happy people to you. By the same token, unhappiness will draw, to you people who, I don't want to put them in my inner circle or even near me unless I'm leading them to Jesus. 6, be ever ready to change as needed. What you tolerate, you accept. So the change you desire to see in others. Think about that. Change must first start with you. Then it will begin to flow through you. Galatians 6:15 and 16, Message Bible. Can't you see the central issue in all this? It is not what you and I do. It's what God is doing. And He is creating something totally new, a free life. All who walk by this statement, by this standard, are the true Israel of God, His chosen people. Peace and mercy on them. Hear this now. Change is going to come in your life, one way or another. Either you will precipitate the change for good, or circumstances may change things for the worse. There's one absolute when it comes to change. God does not change, never has, never will. But you can change things when they need changing, and you should. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. By trusting God, obeying His instructions, good change is coming in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed to the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. The Message Bible translation of that verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18, says, and so we're transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives are gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful. As God enters our lives, and we become like Him. Obeying the Word will change your circumstances for good. Acts 26:20, New Living Translation. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to all the Gentiles. They all must repent of their sins, turn to God, and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Wow. Great passage. What changes you and the rest of the world? The truth, the Word. Colossians 1:6, New Living Translation. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. And 7, pray with and for people. Why should we pray for other people? Because it's a scriptural imperative. 1 Timothy 2:1, Classic Amplified Bible. First of all, then, I admonish and urge you that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men. Prayers do not have to be profound, complicated, or long. Especially long. You don't need a thou or thy almighty God kind of praying. Realize that you're not trying to impress God. You can't. He already knows everything about you. When we pray for someone else, our primary objective should be to bring hope, answers, and even the miraculous to the person who needs it. Just simple conversational prayers. That's it. Without question, your main goal is to pray for the person or persons to receive divine intervention in their lives in one form or another. If you're spirit-filled with evidence of speaking in tongues, unless they ask you to pray for them to receive the gift of evidence, don't. Stay on point. Pray for their specific request. Should always be setting an example how they should be praying for others. asking for prayer for someone is a great way to connect with them. Very few people will ever turn you down when you ask to pray for them. When you're praying with someone with whom you feel has an area of unconfessed or undealt with sin in their lives, don't be clothesline praying. You're not their Holy Spirit. You don't bring the conviction for change. You don't provide the answers. God does and can. Here are seven powerful scriptures we should get down inside of us. Psalm 34, verses 6 through 8. It's the 34, 6 through 8 Message Bible. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angels set up a circle of protection around us while we pray. When you pray for others, you're empowered. Here's another beneficial reason to pray for others. Job 42:10. 42:10, Classic Amplified. I love this scripture. It says, "Then the Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before." Hallelujah. 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 You know, we could keep on teaching. Is there more success traits of a winner? We ask you to identify one that we discussed and seek the scriptures to make it a part of your daily life. Get that deep down inside of you. Hallelujah. Well, to everybody, a good morning, especially my soon-to-be 96-year-old mom. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for praying for Bev and Lawrence and all of us. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.